Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody, and welcome again to Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Woodard. I am Brother Norman, and I'll be sharing an anointed and appointed word that will change, challenge, and charge your character to make an impact in this world for the kingdom of God and our Father in heaven. I'd like to send special thanks to Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, who allows me to come before you every Saturday morning and break bread with you. Amen. They have a program which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And the name of their program is Turn on the Light Broadcast. Turn on the Light Broadcast with Pastor Stephen and Ann Butterfield, which comes on every Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. They're also the assistant pastors at Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia, where the leaders are Archbishop Ruth W. Smith, and the senior pastor is Bishop Kevin Jones. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. They have services every Sunday beginning at 9 a.m. with Sunday school, and 10 a.m. starts a worship service. They also have Bible studies every Wednesday. Actually, every Wednesday at noon, Eastern Standard Time, you can call into this number, 917-388-4161, and listen to their Bible study live. And they also have Bible studies at their location every Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Light of the World Christian Tabernacle International in Stockbridge, Georgia. You can catch them on Facebook, YouTube, and their website is comingtothelight.org. That's comingtothelight.org. Well, if I thank you once again for calling in, and before we get into the word, we're going to hear a song, amen?
worship. Praise it. I can.
Hallelujah. Anybody been changed since you had that encounter with your Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ? No longer the same. Don't think the same way. Don't talk the same way. Don't do the same things I used to do. Don't go to the same places I used to go to. Hallelujah. I am not the same, because I've been changed in your glory, God. Hallelujah. That's your testimony this morning. That's something to shout about. I don't know about you, but I stayed up last night, but it wasn't because I was out at the club. I was in his word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Didn't wake up this morning with a hangover. Woke up with excitement. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Longer the same, because I've been changed in your glory, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Well, thank you once again for calling in. Got another birthday coming up. The 31st. Yeah, March. March was kind of busy for our family in the birthday category. Baby sis, Letitia, as I call Antoinette. That's the middle name. Birthday will be March 31st. We'll give her a shout out. Love you, sis. Talk to you later. We're going to go ahead and get into the word. Amen. Coming out of the book of Psalm 33rd chapter, verses 18 and 19. Psalm 33rd chapter, verses 18 and 19. And it reads, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." I'm gonna read that again. Verse 18, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine." The title of the message is coming from verse 1. The eye of the Lord. And the way that I wrote it is I capitalized the word eye. E-Y-E. The eye of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we thank you once again for being with us, protecting us, keeping us in your care, Father, as we lay down to rest before you, Father. Thank you for charging your angels to be encamped around about us, to protect us, to fight off all the fiery darts of the enemy, Father. And Father, thank you for waking us up this morning. New mercies. For more sufficient grace, God. Thank you, Father, for giving us another chance to glorify you. For that's why you created us, Father. You created us for your glory. You created us to glorify you, Father, in everything we say and everything that we do. So thank you, Father, for considering us, Father, for creating us. Thank you for your son, Jesus, Father, who you sent to be the propitiation for our sins. Thank you for Holy Spirit, for his leading, his guidance, his comfort. Thank you for you, Father, Almighty God, our Father. Thank you for your word, Father, your word that saves, your word that heals. Your word that sets free, your word that delivers those who are bound in what we call sin. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to come into your presence once again, to sit at your feet, to rest on your lap, to lay on your bosom, Father, to hear your heartbeat, to receive what you will have to say to us this morning, to equip us, to prepare us, to make us ready, God, to go into this world and do what you called us to do, to seek and save what is lost, to share the good news of the gospel. So, Father, we receive this word, your message. Help us to make it personal, Father, to apply to our lives, that we may walk it out, that you may be glorified. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Eye of the Lord. I'm going to read that passage again, but we're going to read this time from verses 18 to 22. Verses 18 to 22. I read the first two so that we can get an understanding of where the title came from. This time we're going to get an understanding of what the passage is actually saying. Starting at verse 18, and it reads, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waited for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." Wow, that last verse says, "Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee." That sounds like the mercy that the Lord gives us is a result of the hope that we have in him. Now this type of mercy is not the new mercies that come daily with every day. God says that he gives us new mercies every day. But this is not that same type of mercy that is talking about. This type of mercy is the protection and the provision, the prosperity of God. But it's tied to our hope in him. Let's get into it. The word I. When we look at the word I, E-Y-E. I talks about the attention. The notice, the center, the central part, the point of view. That's what this word I is referring to. Says the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him. The attention of the Lord, the notice. The center, the point of view of the Lord is upon them that fear him. Let's look at this in the Amplified. Let's read this in the Amplified Bible. Psalm 33rd chapter, 18, in the Amplified Bible, and it reads, behold, the Lord's eye is upon those who fear him, who revere and worship him with awe, who wait for him and hope in his mercy and loving kindness to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. Our inner selves wait earnestly for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. That's where he being our provider and our protector comes from. He's our help. He's our provider. And he's our shield, our protector. For in him does our heart rejoice, because we have trusted, relied on, and been confident in his holy name. Now that holy name that we're speaking of here is Jehovah Jireh. The Lord our provider. He's our help. And Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our buckler. He's our shield. He's our protector. So whatever situation you're in, God has a name for it. If you're in chaos, you're in turmoil, he's Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. If you feel alone, you feel rejected, he's Jehovah Shammah, because the Lord is there. He will never leave you nor forsake you. In his holy name. Verse 22 reads, let your mercy and loving kindness. See, that's why I said this kind of mercy is different than the new mercies that comes with every day. This is a request for a certain type of mercy. See, we don't have to ask for the new mercies that come daily. But he says, let your mercy and loving kindness, O Lord, be upon us in proportion to our waiting and hoping for you. See that ties it together. Says in proportion. So the question is, how much hope are you putting in the Lord? How much hope are you putting in the Lord? Because the proportion of waiting and hoping determines the mercy and loving kindness that we get. It said that in verse 18 again. It says, behold, the Lord's eye is upon those who fear him, who revere and worship him with awe. That's what the word fear means. To revere and worship him with awe. Let's turn to St. John, fourth chapter. Talking about the eye of the Lord. St. John, fourth chapter, starting at verse 21. This is when Jesus was having a conversation with the woman at the well. And they was having this conversation about worship. And so she was sharing with Jesus, saying that our fathers worship in this mountain. And you say, Jesus, that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. So there's a difference of how people worship according to their denominations. There's a difference of how people worship according to their beliefs. And there's a difference of how people worship according to their culture. But this is Jesus' response. St. John 4th chapter, verse 21. Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Has nothing to do with your denomination. Has nothing to do with your culture. Has nothing to do with even the church that you attend. Has nothing to do with any of that. Verse 22 reads, ye worship, ye know not what We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Jesus was saying, there's only one way to worship. Whether you are Baptist, whether you are Methodist, whether you are Episcopalian, whether you are solid, Church of Christ, it doesn't matter. There's only one way to worship. In spirit and in truth. For the Father, the one who we're worshiping, seeketh such to worship. That's the type of worshiper that God is looking for, that our Father in heaven is seeking. Because God is a spirit. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. There's only one way to worship him. It says must. That's the condition. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, I read that because in Psalms it says that the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, and that fear is a reverential fear. It speaks of worship. So the eye of the Lord is on those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Spirit and in truth. But let's go back up to verse 13, Psalm 33. Psalm 33, verse 13. Speaking about how Jesus said the Father seeketh. He's searching for those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 33 verse 13 reads, the Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. So that right there is saying that God is looking. He's in heaven, is his place of habitation. He's looking from heaven for those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. And for those who he find worshiping him in spirit and in truth, it says that he will save them. But not only save them, but he will sustain them. Let's continue reading. Psalm 33, verse 18. It says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy. Upon those who wait for him and hope in his mercy and his loving kindness. I'm going to talk about loving kindness in a minute. It says to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. So to deliver them from death, that's salvation. That's salvation, but understand what we're talking about in a spiritual sense. That death is speaking of hell. To deliver them from hell and to keep them alive in famine. So on this earth, yes, we've been saved, we've been delivered from hell, but we still have to live in this earth. So it says that he keeps them alive in famine. Famine is a lack of food. Extreme shortage of food. A time of starvation. That's what a famine is. But in those times, God was sustained. Those who worship him in spirit and in truth. Let's go to Acts. Acts the 7th chapter, 11. This one here actually caused me to chuckle. Acts the 7th chapter, verse 11. And it reads, now there came a dearth over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. So this dearth was a drought and a famine. So it's speaking about when the people in Egypt, they were going through this famine and Canaan, and it says they were going through great afflictions. Couldn't find food anywhere. And then it goes on to say that they found no sustenance, no type of nourishment to help them to sustain life. So people were dying from starvation And I say this lightly, but it's interesting that this verse is at 7-Eleven. I thought about the store 7-Eleven. See, the natural things cannot sustain us spiritually. We can't go into a 7-Eleven or a Circle K or a racetrack or a QT or where my hometown is, a Star Town or a C store. Can't go in those places and get the nourishment that our spirits need. No, it's not in that. Go to St. Matthew's fourth chapter. Talking about the eye of the Lord. St. Matthew's fourth chapter. Starting at verse 1. And it reads, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. So this right here explains everything. Says Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness. So everything that we see in this passage is referring to the spiritual sense, not the natural. There was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Now I'm gonna show you Jesus's mentality, but I'm also show you Satan's approach. Verse 2 reads, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungry. Now, for 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus ate nothing. He fasted. So at the end of that fast, says that he was hungry in the natural because he was a human being. He was a man, natural man. So after going 40 days without food, naturally, you want something to eat. Verse 3 reads, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God. See, right there, he wanted Jesus to question his identity. That's how he approached him. If thou be the Son of God. So you must know who you are in order to withstand the identity attack of Satan. That's his first approach. His first approach is attacking your identity, because that's where it starts. If you don't know who you are, you already defeated. If you don't know who you are, You're already defeated. The talk on the well last night, I mentioned to my wife this morning, we were watching a basketball game before we went to bed last night. We didn't finish it. But it was Purdue versus St. Peter's. Wow, isn't that interesting? St. Peter's. Purdue versus St. Peter's. And Purdue had this guy 7'4", a giant. And the players for St. Peter's, they were nowhere near his height. But it was like David versus Goliath. They were going back and forth. And while I was watching it, I was saying to myself, man, this is going to be an interesting game. Because Purdue was picked to not just to beat them because of their seed. Purdue was a lower seed. St. Peter's was a 15th seed. But St. Peter's, the players on that team, they knew who they were. They had a heart. To fight. They had a heart to endure. They had a heart to defeat Purdue. And that's exactly what happened. They ended up winning because they knew who they were. So that's the approach that Satan is going to come with. He's going to attack your identity first. Then he says in verse 3, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. See, he was approaching in the natural sense. But Jesus' response was, says, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. This is Jesus' mentality. See, he's not thinking about his natural body, even though he's hungry. But he said, man should not live by bread alone. This is what not sustains my spirit. But man shall live by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. The word of God is the sustenance, is the nutrients. Of what our spirit needs. This is Jesus' reaction to Satan's attack. The eye of the Lord. God called us the apple of his eye. Let's go to Zechariah. Zechariah 2 and 8. Zechariah 2 and 8. If you go to the end of the Old Testament, Malachi and turn back one book, you see Zechariah. Zechariah, the second chapter, 8. And it reads, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. For he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye." This is how God sees us. And he's so protective of us. It started by saying, for thus says the Lord of hosts, after the glory had sent me unto the nations which spoiled you. This is referring to Jesus. This is referring to Jesus, the Lord of hosts. Because we're the apple of God's eye. We're his sensitive part that he cares and loves us so much that he was sent his only begotten son. He sent us. He sent him to us that we might be saved. But not only saved, but sustained. Through his word. That's what this Bible is. This Bible is our sustenance. See, God wants to prosper us, but not with just materialistic things, but more importantly, spiritually. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all that you prosper and be in health." So that's the natural sense. I wish above all that you prosper and be in health. But it goes on to say, even as your soul prospers. That's the spiritual sense. And that comes with feeding our spirit with the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. Says the eye is his favor. So the favor of the Lord that's what I mean. The favor of the Lord is upon those who worship him in spirit and in truth. But not only that, says he rescues them, he saves them in those bad times, in those times of famine, delivers them from death, from hell, and he keeps their souls. He's our salvation, and he's our sustainer. He's our provider, and he's our protector. The eye of the Lord, the favor of the Lord is upon them that worship him in spirit and in truth. And those who worship him in spirit and in truth, he will deliver their souls. He will save them. And he will keep them alive in famine. The eye of the Lord. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for revelation, for understanding. Now, Father, help us to apply this word to our lives, to make it personal, to walk it out, Father, that you may be glorified. Thank you, Father, for saving us. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you, Father, for providing for us. Thank you for protecting us. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. The eye of the Lord. The favor of the Lord. Well, thank you once again for calling in. Talk to you next week. Love you. Bless you. Anointed and Appointed Word Ministries with Brother Norman Word.